everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., where, gosh, we just cover everything in the world of hypnosis. If you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, want you to go there right now, because right below this video, right down there, we've got additional links and maybe some graphics and stuff like that that will just make this whole thing a lot more valuable. Hey, let me introduce, she's back. She's been like 3 months, and we need an estrogen fix. It's been way too much testosterone around here with Elron and me, and then Elron, and then just me, and now it's Meredith. Meredith is a true one percenter in the field of hypnotism because she really is serious about this. She's master hypnotist. She's a five-path hypnotherapist, seven-path teacher. Even before she came into the world of hypnotism and hypnotherapy and hypnofixitism, you know what? She was a talk therapist with a master's degree in psychology. What you got for me today, Meredith?
Hi, Cal. It's so good to be back. So excited.
Yeah, you kind of look like a hypno-gypsy today.
Yes, I'm a gypsy today.
You need your hypno-tarot cards.
And I am going to gypsy-hypnotize all of you with these fantastic questions that many of you have written in. We've got all kinds of what-if questions that Cal's going to answer today, and I might add my two cents. And we've got some other random questions that you guys have written in, so stay tuned. And after some little announcements here and there, we're going to get right in to the nitty-gritty, answering the questions that I'm sure you two have asked. So I want to introduce Cal. Cal is the one percenter. I mean, lots of us are in the 1%, but he really is the, like with a capital T and a capital H and a capital E. He's the one that has brought to us five path, the one-on-one process I use with all my clients. He brought to us seventh path self-hypnosis. He's written many books. He's such a prolific creator of training materials. He's just an incredible person, and he's Cal, and I bet you he's got some announcements for us right now.
Oh, not too much. Hey, probably as this is being put out there into the world of, in the hypno internet area, I'm at the NGH convention teaching the Week of Power and also doing some talks like on Seven Path and Age Regression and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, brought to you by delayed, recording and stuff. And, oh, I know what I want to tell you about. Soon. We've got our next hypnosis certification course, the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification Course, the super course with five path and seven path, plus all the basics you need to get started in addition to the advanced stuff, is looking at my screen. Starts October 31st, Halloween. I think that's Halloween. That's great. Through November 11th here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. Be here. It will change your life. And if you can't be here in person and you're, you know, pretty good with the internet, I mean, you know, you got a computer, you got a good internet connection, we can get you on off-site, but live, participating 100% in the class. And you can save the early enrollment. And that's enough of the old advertisements stuff. So, what do we do now, Meredith?
Beautiful. Well, first, I want to get into a question that was submitted by Tom in reference to your last podcast that you did. And so I thought we could dig a little bit into this. So he said that he's been listening to our podcast for a while. Thank you very much, Tom. And he's fairly new to hypnosis. And he does not, at this point, practice at all. And, you know, he kind of is in a conundrum about who to start practicing with. And, you know, we've gotten into kind of how it's not a great idea to practice with family and friends and all of that to keep, you know, the professional boundaries. And so, you know, he's like, who would I start practicing on if I want to get started? So, Cal, do you want to throw out some suggestions?
Okay, well, you know, you got to practice in order to be competent. And what we want is competent and confident hypnotherapists and hypnotists and consulting hypnotists out there doing the work. And so your teacher should have had you do lots and lots of practice every day in your class, except maybe the first day. And so that you, at our courses, we have about approximately 2 hours of practice every day, an hour before, an hour afterwards, so that our students can get that feeling of confidence and competence. I think that's the way that Dr. Dwight Damon of the NGH, he's the president of NGH, it's kind of his goal, is to produce competent and confident hypnotherapists, hypnotists, consulting hypnotists. Now, So what do you do? Well, it depends on what you want to practice. There's, are you a person that you've just been trained in direct suggestion hypnosis? You know, direct suggestion hypnosis, you could practice on just about anybody. I mean, you could practice on your cat if you want. You could just, if you can get her to hold still. And don't give her any catnip, because then you'll be running all over the house practicing your inductions and stuff. But what you want to do is, if it's just direct suggestion, you don't even need a body. You know, you can just have Mr. Pillow. And I did a lot of work with Mr. Pillow in the beginning, and that is just take a chair and then put a pillow in there and just drill through the stuff. You need to drill through all your preparation stuff. You need to drill through your pre-talk so that it just comes out automatically. Kind of like an actor would go through his or her lines before they actually get on stage. So at the direct suggestion level, all you need is Mr. Pillow or a very sleepy kitty cat, okay? And you just drill through your stuff. Just practice saying your lines. Saying things in a way that's consistent with what you're suggesting. In other words, using a relaxed tone when you're suggesting relaxation, using a more stiff and rigid tone when you're suggesting like arm catalepsy or eye lock, that kind of thing. Then, if your instructor had you doing more advanced techniques like age regression, then you can practice age regression on friends and volunteers so long as you keep it positive. And we do a lot of this in our class. What we do is, because a lot of the skill that goes with doing age regression has to do with staying in present tense, using the proper tone of voice, using the proper wording to actually get the regression done. So here's a really good tip for you, and that is, once you know how to get people into somnambulism, you need to be able to reliably do that. And if you don't have an induction for that, go to hypnosis.org and click on that video where I will teach you how to do the Elman-Vanian induction for free. And I give you a lot of insider tips, tricks, and techniques there too. It's all on video. You don't have to read through something. It's just right there. You got to get people in somnambulism. Once you're able to do that, high degree of reliability and confidence, then here's some practices you can do with friends and volunteers. Do some age regression work, which is called date-time regression, to a prearranged time, a happy time. Like, it could be a birthday or a time when they got an award or, you know, any positive time in their past, preferably before the age of 12. And then so you put them in somnambulism with a good induction, do some covert testing to make sure that they're there, do a convincer like eye lock, arm catalepsy, and then you will say, in a moment, count from 5 back to 1, you're going to go back to that time when you are blank years old and blanking, and you just fill in the prearranged time. Oh, let me tell you this. Even before you do that, you could do age regression role play. And that is, you just tell the person, pretend to be hypnotized and just follow my instructions. And you can have the person, you just say, okay, pretend to be hypnotized. The moment I'm going to count from 5 back to 1, when I get to 1, go back to this time when you're blank years old and blanking, like 8 years old and catching your first fish, whatever the prearranged event was. And then just practice taking them through it without hypnosis, pretending that they're hypnotized, so that you can get your wording right and you feel competent and confident. Then do what I was talking about before, induce a hypnosis, covert testing for somnambulism, do a convincer like eye lock, eye catalepsy, arm lock, arm catalepsy, and then do the actual regression to a prearranged fun time. And you can then practice being in present tense, you can practice calling them by their age for their name, getting all that stuff good, down really competent and confidently. Then what you can do is, when you've got that done, then just, you know, first you unregress them and emerge them. Do that a number of times till you really feel like you've got that hammered and you're really good at it. Then start doing this. Do exactly the same thing. Induction, deepening, covert tests, all that stuff that I just talked about. Get somnambulism. Take them back to a prearranged time. And then do a time tunnel technique, or affect bridge to an earlier time they felt that way. Now, instead with clients, you're going to be working with times when they felt bad, but you can get a whole lot of practice, build your confidence by taking people through these positive times, happy times. Like, let's say you take them back to their fifth birthday. That's their prearranged time. And then when they're all happy, you say, what are you thinking? I'm thinking, oh, this is so great. All my friends are here. How are you feeling? Oh, I'm so happy. Where do you feel that feeling in your body? Oh, it's in my chest. Good. Now, just mentally go into that feeling as if it was a tunnel to the past. Follow it back to another wonderful time when you felt this way. And when you come out the other side of the tunnel, give me your first impression, daytime or nighttime, indoors or outdoors, alone or with someone. And so now what you've done is you've used the emotion to time tunnel back to an earlier time they felt that way. And then once again, you practice state. You find out what's happening. How old are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And you can continue to practice your age regression. But this time, it's not in an arranged date. It was a new found, uncovered, positive, happy time. And if you want to, you could ask them, is that feeling familiar or new? And if it's familiar, you can continue to time tunnel back through all of these happy times and really build up a great deal of confidence and competence in using that advanced technique. How's that?
Beautiful. Yeah, you got to jump in there. You got to take baby steps sometimes to get somewhere. And, you know, practicing in more simple ways will prepare you for the actual sessions that you'll set yourself up for. But don't be afraid to jump in at some point because, you know, you can only prepare for so long before you have to just get out there and get your experience in the field. You know, I know, Cal, you've said it, and I totally agree that we learn something from every client that we work with. You know, we're constantly getting wiser and clearer and better and figuring out ways to overcome the new individual situations that come up with new clients. And so, you know, do all of your homework. Keep watching these podcasts. You know, get in more training if you feel you need it. Get some practice with the pillow and with friends in simpler ways. But at some point, you're just going to have to take the plunge and get out there. And what I believe is that, you know, you will only attract the level of client that you are ready to handle. And as you grow, you'll keep getting more and more prepared for the ones that you are now prepared for as you've grown. Sound good, Cal?
Absolutely. All right.
Good. Moving on.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to get into a what-if question sent in by Rob, and I had asked for some what-if questions a little while back, and we actually didn't get too many, so we're not going to really do a whole big series on it, but I'm going to go ahead and give those their just due here and maybe even in the next podcast. And so Rob is saying, you know, he is a five-pather. He is somebody that uses age regression on a regular basis, so this is a more, you know, advanced question a little bit. If you don't know about age regression, if you don't know about Five Path, you might want to go back and look at the 10 keys to doing age regression right. And so that's 108, podcast 108 to podcast 114. And the link will be right down there if you're watching it on calbanion.com. So you can review those first before you get into this question. But so Rob is asking, what if you did phase two, so you did age regression, and you tested for somnambulism to be sure that they're at the right depth to be prepared for it. Seems like you found the initial sensitizing event. The responses seem textbook for phase two, age-appropriate fears. You know, all of it seems like it is what you would expect it to be for an initial sensitizing event. And then you do the informed child technique, and they say the feeling in the body is gone after doing that. And then they come back for the next session, and they say they felt they were just making it all up. Basically, the questions are, is it possible that they faked you out, or do they only think they did? Does this happen to you?
You know, the deal is I will tell clients that, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And that is, you know, how do you feel in there now? And how are you feeling in these situations? And I would also tell them that it's common for people to feel like they're making things up when we're doing age regression and other advanced techniques. Because the information is coming from the subconscious mind. You're accessing information from the subconscious mind and sharing it, and that's very much is what you do when you do make things up. You access information from the subconscious mind, you know, that you know about stuff, and then you put it together and share it with someone. So you're using the same kind of area of the mind, the same kind of function of the mind, from which you do make things up. So it's going to feel very much like that. And here's another thing, and I may or may not get into this with the client, and that is, particularly with age regression. When we're doing age regression to help somebody, when we're being a hypnofixatologist, okay, and we're trying to fix a problem, we don't care if the information accessed in the age regression is necessarily 100% historically accurate. I mean, like if you had a video of the event that was taken and then lost and then found, and then you played it back after you'd done the regression with someone, and they don't exactly match up, right? That's okay, because we do age regression in large part as kind of a reality check, in that we're going back and checking what the child thought at the time, how they felt, and stuff like that. And it's filled with error. In fact, that's a big part of what we do, is we take the adult aspect of the client and have it, grown up as we call it, go back and talk to the child and do the informed child technique to straighten them out, because they have misperceptions, they have all kinds of fears that are based, they're not based in reality. So a lot of what the information that is recorded in the subconscious mind is not factual. But here's the deal. Okay, this is really advanced stuff, okay? We don't care if it's necessarily historically true. But when we get this information out of the client's mind, here's the big thing. That is how it's stored in there. We don't care what really happened. What we care is what is stored in the subconscious mind. It can be off a little bit. It can be off a lot. When they start sharing that information, when they start re-experiencing it as the child, it can feel very made up. But it's really because we're accessing information, the subconscious mind, in very much the same way as when we make up stuff. Here's another little thing. A lot of you have heard of the Rorschach test or the inkblot test. You see, and so what will happen is the psychiatrist will hold up this weird shaped thing. It's like they put some ink on there and they folded it in half, squished it together and opened it up, and there's this pattern there, right? And they'll say, gosh, tell me about this shape. I mean, what does it look like to you? And that's called projective testing, and it tells us about their personality and how their mind works and stuff like that. So in a way, also, hypnotic age regression is like a projective test. We're just having them talk about what's going on inside of them. And it tends to be associated with different times in their lives. So if I had a client that said, you know what, I feel like I made some or all of that up, I would say, no problem. And I'd explain to them whatever I thought they could use from what I just said. I would talk about, you know, the number one, you're using the part of the mind that you use when you do make stuff up, so it's normal for it to feel that way. Number two, we don't have to worry about it being 100% accurate. And I, as the hypnofixatologist, I know how to work with whatever you give me. The most important thing, you didn't come here to see me about doing age regression. You came here to fix this problem, and that's what's important. And doing this age regression work is an incredibly powerful way to go about doing that. You want to add anything to that, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, you really covered it in great detail, but in my experience, it often feels like it's being made up. And ultimately, does it really matter? Does it matter if they said that they were four when they were actually two? Does it matter if it's just something that came from within? It's kind of like, if they made it up, then it matters. And so even if they made it up, it's something that came from somewhere within them that needs to come to a more positive resolution. There's some charge, emotional charge there that needs to be neutralized, and they benefit no matter what. I guess that's just about, because you really covered it in great detail, Cal. That's about all I can add is support.
Well, I think that one thing you added that is really important is that ability to release that emotional charge. And it's very powerful. It's catharsis in itself. All right, I think we're out of time.
We indeed are. I'll go ahead and sign off, and then you can add anything else you need. Thank you guys so much for submitting your questions, you know, your comments. We love questions and comments. Please, please, please send them in. You can post them on calbanion.com underneath our more recent podcasts. I look there when I pull material. You can go on to ourhypnospace.com and go to the Ask Cal group and post questions there. You can also email them directly to me at Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Thank you so much. And there's actually many other ways to get us questions. We want them. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
All right. And I just want to publicly thank Meredith for being out here. You know, she kind of takes the back seat, but she is definitely a professional expert in her own right. Let's see now. Oh, yes. To check up on my training schedule, go to hypnosiscenter.com, because I realize you might be watching this 1 year, 2 years, 20 years in the future. And if I'm still training 20 years in the future, I want you to be able to get my current class schedule. And gosh, I think that's enough for now. That's Cal Banion signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.